What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And on this episode, we have a blast from the past. Apache Rose, or well, I guess I should say Riley, aka Apache Rose, has rejoined us. You'll remember her as the guest who described being abducted by a UFO with her friend and what that entire experience was about, which I think to date is our only UFO episode. We need to do a better job and bring some more of those stories on the podcast. But Riley, thank you so much for coming back on.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Honestly, like, we get so many amazing stories, but only some of them really stick in for me, right? And especially over like a year, your story has really stuck with me. We maybe had one more UFO interview, but it wasn't about an abduction. It was about a woman who had, I think, in Israel seen, like,
right.
Remember that one? Like a green, like, and kind of ship or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Was it like green, but then had like an orange tail?
Maybe. I need
like,
to go back.
Like as it was like moving?
Yeah. She said it was like super hard to describe. It looked like it was moving and there were scales.
Okay, that's super creepy because I've seen something like that.
No.
I didn't tell anybody. But like the colors, it's hard. I can't really describe the colors. And like when I try to describe the colors, it doesn't seem right. Yeah. No, my life is full of just the unexpected.
Is that this from the same UFO encounter that you mm-hmm. told us about before? This is a totally different thing.
This was recent. This was like, so actually I saw it twice. The first time was by myself and I thought it was a meteorite, right? I was like, that's a weird like shooting star. Cause I was driving by myself through the mountains. Cause I had just gotten my hand tattooed and, it was really bright and I almost didn't like comprehend what I was seeing. So I was like, that must've been like a meteor or something. And that's what I chalked it up as. But it was really big for like a meteor. Usually when you see like a shooting star, it's like really quick and like white and small, but this was like large and it had like a tail to it. Like how, like you would see in like a meteor in like a movie or something. Mm-hmm. And it had that like green, almost blue, like in the center. And, but anyways, I was like, oh, that's probably just like a comet or something. I was like, that was really fucking cool. And then when I actually went to move in with my boyfriend, Taylor, and I moved from Colorado to Idaho, we took the road trip. I drove, from Colorado up here. And I think we were not quite to Montana, but I was talking on the phone with my dad and he saw it when I didn't see it, like to the right of the car. And he was like, what the heck? And then when I got off the phone with my dad, he was like telling me, he's like, I just saw like this weird, like, it looked like kind of like a UFO kind of thing, like to the side, you know, he's like, maybe it was like a meteorite or a comet or something. And then we both looked straight ahead and there it was again. But this time, instead of going in like a straight line, I'm trying to remember correctly. It changed directions to where we were just like, what the, and we both saw it. And then that's when I was like, okay, that's weird. But I don't know what it is. Like, what? I'm not claiming it's anything because I'm like, but we both did see it the second time.
Riley, what has it been like for you? And I know we brought you on tonight to talk about ghosts and we'll certainly get into that, but
aliens.
Yeah. I know. Right. With our government opening up more, you know, classified information and admitting, hey, there are unidentified flying objects that we can't account for what they are. What is it like for somebody like you who has a story that, you know, some people may find unbelievable, but now maybe gives a little bit more validity to your experience?
Here's what's weird about like encountering a phenomenon like that is you almost like gaslight yourself, right? Like you are in denial of it as well. Like you don't fully believe it yourself. And like, I am in like certain like groups that are like closed and private through like with people who have experienced things. And like, I feel like mine isn't as intense as like some of the ones that I've heard or like read like on this. And like, for me, like it's tough. It's like a weird psychology thing, because if I fully acknowledge, like if that was real, it wasn't a dream, it wasn't, you know, some weird psychosis or whatever, like I can't explain it in the realms of the reality as we know it, then like, what does that really mean for everything? And so like in my mind, cause I try to keep an open mind, but also grain of salt to avoid going too far down any rabbit hole. For me, it's like, it's nice that they're finally disclosing information, but also the reality of like, if that is something that's been going on, like how nefarious that is to keep that. I don't know. Do you get where I'm going with this?
It's kind of like it's a really intense, for you.
It's a really intense thing. Like, yes, it would be a relief to be like, okay, so me and that friend aren't just in some weird delusion, you know what I mean? Like psychosis or whatever. But then that also 100% cannot deny to myself was a thing. And that's like the weird thing about it. And like, as time goes on, like I felt the urge to share that story. And then after I shared it, it was like, to me, I was like done with it.
Mm.
Like, I haven't really thought about it much. It was more of like, here's the information for other people, because I feel like information and knowledge is important to share. And then I've been kind of done with it, because then you start getting the other beliefs of it, where you have people talking about the Galactic Federation and then these like weird starseed things. And like, it's almost like too much. And like, if the Galactic Federation is like a real thing and like this whole thing, like, I don't trust that like at all. Like, then you're in a whole nother realm of like galactic politics basically. And I'm just like, that sounds like a shit show.
JJ, that's like your dream, right?
Oh yeah, that's so much my dream. I had been waiting so long for a UFO episode before you came on. Because like, I am like kind of like iffy on whether ghosts are real or not, but I mean, it's just statistically it would be incredibly unlikely that there are no aliens in the universe. Like, whether they've come here or not is up for more of a debate, but like, I'm much more likely to believe in someone who has had that kind of experience.
Right.
And like, you yourself, I think also had a friend who was able to corroborate some of your experience as well.
Which is why I wasn't like able to fully like deny that that was probably happened. Right.
What you were talking about, how it's almost easier just to not talk about it and to not, like, if it wasn't proven, because it's just a whole other thing to add into the human existence. And honestly, I don't know if like majority of humans are capable of handling that kind of truth, which can be generalized to so many things in our current like political climate and current like every, you know, I just feel like so many people lean on ignorance as bliss and, you know, la-di-la, I'm just going to keep living my life without acknowledging all of these important things and factual things, and use so many things to cover that up. And we're taught as we're growing up to like reason everything and, you know, oh, well, that can't be real because of this, this, and this, instead of just letting ourselves be like, okay, that was definitely like a spaceship and not a meteorite or whatever. Right.
That's why I was, you know, I always say open mind, grain of salt. What I always say to people of what I do is following kind of like your intuition, like your heart as that guide. Cause even like you were saying, you're like, we've had like a bunch of stories, but there's only a couple that stuck out to me. That's intuition. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. That feeling, like you kind of, you know, what is and isn't off of that feeling, and it's indescribable. And even people who aren't tarot readers or psychics or clairvoyants, we all have that gut instinct. When we go into a room and something feels off, everybody has that. And like, that's what we need to learn to use more, rather than be so focused on getting facts. Because if you, and I made this mistake, was I was so hungry for information and facts and like what's real, it's not healthy. Like, you can't stay a balanced, open-minded person and then go down that like rabbit hole effect. It's too much information, it's overload. So by just like getting what you can and following that feeling, to me, it helps everything be more digestible of like what potentially our reality actually is versus what we've been told.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, because for me, I like to view the world and like there are facts that we can like verify, and then there's also just like people's subjective experience, which is a lot harder to verify. And like, a lot of times I get into this like, okay, I can't really trust my intuition. Because you know, it's just
because of biases,
it's just like a feeling, it's not like something I can like verify. But it kind of sounds like you're saying more like, trust your intuition to the extent that it like filters what sort of facts you're reviewing.
to an extent. It's like, so if I get, if like somebody tells me a story and I get the feeling of like, you know what, I'm not really vibing with that, I still have that information there, but I don't create a solid belief system on true or false. Does okay. that make sense? I keep that idea or thought suspended in like a maybe, rather than being like, this is or isn't. It's more of keeping your mind in out of the state of duality, because the second you're like something is or isn't, or good or bad, you will not be able to see truth regardless. And this could be in a court hearing. This could be like anything in life. Like once you've decided that like someone or something is wrong or bad, your subconscious mind will immediately start filtering your reality based on that one belief that one thing is in that duality. So if I get like a feeling on it, I'm like, okay, that's like a maybe. I don't know how I feel about that. It could be or it could not be, and I leave it there.
That's a good way to keep you from joining cults too. I feel like a lot of parents should have that belief system before they watch Fox News, but that's just me.
Yeah, or anything, really. Anything. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like you're being skeptical of like what, like you may have a feeling, but you're not necessarily like, okay, I have to decide whether I believe in this or not.
Right. What I want is the truth. So this is the formula that I have found through reading different books and different things on psychology and like interpersonal stuff between you and your own mind. You know what I mean? Like between your mind and your soul kind of deal. And that seems to be the formula for me to hold myself accountable on my own biases and be open enough to accept radically new information, but not so open that I go into a psychosis where I'm like, there's unicorns dancing in my room. You know what I mean? Like it's a fine line to walk.
Yeah. I think I just like don't have as much trust in my intuition or my feeling as a lot of people.
That's like, why you lose your keys so often.
Actually, ghost. I actually washed his keys today in the washing machine. So
I thought you meant on purpose. I was like, why?
That's amazing.
So Riley, you mentioned your heart a few beats ago, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about your journey of finding love online with Taylor. I know it's I remember, I know you took a little break from content, but I remember when all that was happening and kind of keeping up with your story and how much fun that was. Can you kind of walk us back to how that came to be and where you guys are now?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny and a little embarrassing on like my end because, so before they changed the TikTok algorithm, when the TikTok algorithm was prime and just magnificent, he came up on my For You page because we have the same interests, right? So like anime, gaming, some spiritual stuff. We have the same humor. So he ended up posting a video that was him doing like the Kagura. It was the one about the poker game and all the girls. And you do like the acting of each voice, right? And so anyways, like I saw that video and then I had a fat crush like immediately. And I was like, ooh, who is this? And I was more just joking around because my friend was over helping me with the launch of like the hoodies and stuff. So we were kind of like having a girls' night and like joking around. Otherwise, I don't think I would have done that if I was by myself. And so I saw that he was already following me and I was like, oh, what? And then we just started talking. And then the first time we ended up talking on the phone, he was helping me learn about Discord and how to set up Discord. And like, we were talking about different stuff like that. And then we ended up talking for like 9 hours straight. And it just kind of came to be and was one of those weird things where everything just kind of like fell into place.
And didn't one of you travel like across the country to see the other one?
Yeah. So I flew down there so he wouldn't be by himself on New Year's. And then I spent about like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. And then we had a few days apart and then he flew down to Denver where I was. And we were like, you know what? We were both, I feel like, at an age and a place where we're like, we're serious. We're not looking to date around. Like we have a connection that we see could build into like a partnership for life. And that's where we both were at. And so I was like, all right, I can go wherever. I don't have any roots. And so I packed up and moved here to Idaho.
Wow.
That's so cool. I love that.
Awesome. How many potential romances do you think have been quashed just by TikTok changing their algorithm?
Oh, I don't know. Probably a lot.
That's so funny.
Probably a lot. They shouldn't have done that. It was fine the way it was.
So Riley, if people want to kind of go back and revisit that story and kind of live that journey with you, where can they follow you on social media?
So I am on TikTok and Instagram under Apache_Rose. And there are two E's in the Rose. I have a link tree in the bio of both that connects everything. So if you find me on the Instagram, there's a link tree there and you can find my TikTok as well. I have like a little shop, but I put that on pause and like hold for now while I get all this house stuff going.
Sure.
So that probably won't be up for a while. I think that link is still up. So in case somebody clicks on that, it'll come up again eventually. Just
awesome.
Not quite yet.
Awesome. Well, I did want to spend some time kind of revisiting because it has been like a year since we talked to you. And of course, the world continues to change as we kind of make it through this pandemic and everything. But I thought it was kind of cool. It seemed like you found love in a time where I think we could all use company and comfort. So I'm glad it worked out for you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we are here to talk about ghosts because we are a ghost. Wait, what, Kat? What'd you say?
We are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure our new listeners are like, yeah, that's great. I know what's happening. Where's the, just calm down, guys. Go back and listen to the old episode and then jump into this one so you can catch right up with Riley. But Riley, last time we had you on, we obviously talked about the UFO stories and you had mentioned that you had some ghost stories as well. So, and I can't remember how much, I don't think we really got into it much at all. So how old were you when you experienced your first ghost phenomenon?
I have to think back because I feel like there was a lot of phenomena when I was younger, but I was too young for it to be a viable story now. Does that make sense? So the first one that really sticks out to me, I think, would be when I was around 15 or so, maybe 14.
Also, I didn't ask you on our believometer, zero meaning you don't believe in ghosts and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
Oh my gosh. I'm on a 10, 12. They won't leave me alone.
Amazing.
I wish I could be at a zero at this point because I'm done with their crap.
Oh, you know what? It's funny you say that. I forgot to tell Kat and JJ, I was going to tell you guys about this. I can share it with Riley as well. So my wife and I were sitting in like our TV room and we have to the side, it's like this open area where our dogs' kennels are and it has like their food and stuff. So we keep the kennel doors open, but we keep their food and water in there. And so our kid, we have like a 2-year-old and we kind of sometimes we put the doors kind of almost shut so he doesn't go in there and mess like with the dog stuff because he's kind of curious and interested in everything. So we had almost shut it. We left just enough room open so where the dogs can go in there. We do that from time to time. And we were sitting there watching TV and like out of nowhere, the door just flies open. Like not just like a, you know, like sometimes because of the way houses are built, you know, like say if you roll a ball, it might roll back to you because it's uneven or, you know, maybe you have foundation issues, things like that. Yeah. That wouldn't be crazy if it just slowly kind of opened up, you'd be like, whatever, but it flew open. And my wife is very skeptical. She is very much a JJ and we both just kind of looked at each other and she was like, might've been a ghost. That was pretty weird. And I was like, pretty freaking weird. So anyway, that's my first ghost experience in a long, long time or pretend, you know, whatever, unexplainable thing. But I thought that might be interesting to share. So
yeah, well, our ghost needed a little bit of a vacation. So we sent her to your place.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah. Riley, since you were on last, and I know we bring this up in a lot of episodes, but essentially we had a medium on who said that they saw a ghost in between Kat and JJ. And then we have had this, kind of ghosty lady whispery voice bleed through our podcast probably about, I'd say 10 times at this point, but it comes up a lot when people reference it on the podcast. And it's like a wow, wow, wow. It's really creepy. And it's always like very similar to, but the creepiest thing we had is one episode, Kat and JJ just paused and like stared at each other and they heard it out loud. We'd never heard it out loud before. It just always kind of bled through audio. But they heard it out loud in their room and it came through on the podcast when it happened. So
yeah, creepy. You see how I know that it's true is my heart. Like that's how I tell if there's something paranormal going on. My heart will start going boom, boom, boom. And it's like weird and it feels I don't know. It's really weird. And so when you started talking about it, my heart started doing the thing and I was like, son of a God.
Do you watch One Punch Man or One?
I'm familiar with it.
There's a character that
it makes fun of all the animes I like. The whole it's like a satire. So yeah. I was like, no, I'm not watching that.
There's a character that's supposed to be big and strong, but he's really not. And they're like, oh no, it's the train is coming, and it's really his heart just beating really loud because he gets so scared. So that's what that reminded me of. Speaking of trains, I've taken us way off track. So let's get back to you. You're 15.
Oh, a lot of puns tonight, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know. Awkward segue, but you want to tell us about some of these ghost experiences?
Right. Okay. So one of the most memorable one to me would have been about like 14, 15 years ago. And I was at my mom's house and it was a like two-story house with a basement. And like in the basement was all the gaming stuff, the PlayStation, there was like a little couch there or whatever. So I was sleeping in the basement and it was like a little pull-out couch thing. And it all started when I was trying to fall asleep and I have no idea what time it was. It was definitely after midnight. And I just got this like eerie feeling out of nowhere where I was terrified to be where I was, but for no reason. Like there wasn't like really any odd creaking sounds that were abnormal to being in a basement in a house. Did you hear that?
No.
I'm so tired of this crap. Something just like hit my door, but that's fine. Ooh. Like something like if you were holding like a necklace or like a chain and it like hit the door and it made that like sound.
Weird.
No, I am like, well, it just won't stop. I just won't stop. Anyway, so I'm in my mom's basement. I get this feeling of like terror, like out of nowhere. Like, and it wasn't just like nervous, scared, uncomfortable. Like it was fear to where it took everything in me to even get up off the couch. And like, I had the blanket over my head because even though I was a teenager, I still did the kid thing and put my head under the covers.
Oh yeah.
And I remember thinking like, I just got to go for it. Like, I just got to just run up the stairs and it'll be over. And like, talking myself into like moving basically. Like I was so scared I couldn't even move. And there was like no reason for it. It was just like inexplicable fear. And so finally I muster up the courage to run up the basement stairs and I just ran to the couch in the living room and like kind of dove onto the couch with the blanket and kind of like sat there for a second. And then that's when the basement door slammed shut. And I couldn't see the basement door from where I was, but I could hear it. And that house was like a brand new suburban cookie cutter house. Like there was no creak, you know what I mean? Like the foundation solid, like everything's super square. Like there's no, and we're not tilted enough for that door to slam shut.
Yeah.
And so the door slammed shut, which obviously makes me jump. And then it was an open floor plan. So I could see the kitchen from where I was. And there was a glass sitting on the counter. And I watched the glass slide across the counter. And at that point, I got up and I ran upstairs again. And I went into my mom's room and I was like freaking out. I was like, Mom, like there's something going on in the house. And she was like, go away, because she's sleeping and she didn't help me at all. And so I went into my little brother's room, who is 10 years younger than me, and he had this like little bunk bed thing, but like there wasn't a bed at the bottom, there's just like a hippopotamus sleeping bag. And so I ran in there and slept in there. The next day I told my mom, and so at the time my mom was doing like cleansings and exorcisms for people's homes with a friend of hers who was part of the Monroe Institute studies on remote viewing, because she was like a verified medium, and they used to go to these houses. So she brought out her whole ghost busting kit, right, and started looking around the house with like an EMF. Mm-hmm. And so as we're going through the house, like really nothing. And when we get to the like the staircase and we start going to the second story, it was almost like it would move for a little bit, like it was like running past or something. And so we were like kind of following it, and we ended up in my brother's room, and it was hanging out in the top corner, like above where his pillow was. Oh, and God. Like the EMF, and I'm trying to remember the numbers correctly, went up to like a seven point something, and then up to 8, and then it fluctuated there. But then when she got the, I think she saged, and then we have an eagle feather. And then when she saged the house, then it went away and the EMF was nothing.
Wow. So your brother must have been pretty young, because he's 10 years younger than you.
Yeah.
You were a teenager. Did he find out about this reading in his room?
I don't think we told him.
Yeah.
I don't think we told him to this day, to be honest. Like,
I wonder if he ever experienced anything in that room that.
I know he's experienced a lot of phenomena, not necessarily in the same way that I have. I feel like his has been a little bit more on the lighter side spiritually, but I think that's because he had a big sister who was already taking the brunt of it on, right. If that makes sense.
So he got the fun ghost and you had the ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had a bit of both.
Yeah. But
like there have been some that are really, really scary, like creepy.
Yeah. I totally understand that feeling of like suddenly just being so terrified of the space you're in and having to muster that like braveness to just like run up the stairs or jump into the bed or slam the door shut. And most of it's probably because I have a lot of probably childhood anxiety then and now residing in me. What I'm saying is I've definitely been in those situations, but mine might've been triggered just by me already triggered by the darkness or something like that.
Right. And yeah. And this was much different because I've been spooked out by being in a dark room before, and being like, ooh, and running to the light switch or whatever. But this was like a sudden onset of fear where I was like, I'm fine in the dark in the basement this whole time and having a good time, like just chilling. And then it was like a sudden onset. So onset of fear. So it's not like I built myself up, because you can build yourself up in your head. Like once you get creeped out, then you go, ooh, what about this? And then you start seeing shapes and then you'll freak yourself out. It was such a quick onset of like emotion that there wasn't even time for my mind to make it worse than it was. It was just already like something's wrong.
Yeah. It was like act and react kind of.
Yeah.
You think this was a spirit? Do you think it was the same one that y'all found in your brother's room?
Yeah. Whatever from that basement, whatever it was. Yeah. It was definitely the same thing.
Right.
But then after it was cleansed, there was nothing. We never had a return.
I wonder if like whatever spirit it was like projecting its state of emotion onto you in that moment. The only reason I say that is just this one time I was on a ghost. I mean, it was a ghost tour we paid for, so it could have, you know, just been a whole lot of whatever. But we went into like these like under street caves in Scotland. It's been a while since I've talked about this on the podcast, but they would take us into these different rooms and tell us like, oh, you know, the poor and the homeless would come down here and they would like all cram into these little caves under the street and or bunkers or whatever it was. And they were just like these stone, like very solid rooms. And, you know, they would tell us like, okay, in this next room, some people tend to feel this spirit or maybe see something or like, and of course the whole tour, they're like, there's the lurker who will follow us the whole time. So I was like,
gosh,
terrified. Like, I don't know how I do this podcast because I get terrified of stuff like this. I'm better now after hearing so many stories, but yeah, I was just like in the middle of the group, just like totally all muscles clenched. And afterwards, they go and asked us some questions and we're like, Now, did any of you guys feel any specific emotions? Because in some rooms, we'll get the same response from different people. And it's, you know, due to whatever spirit died there that we have written in our history logs, what they were going through or something like that. Mm-hmm. And again, it could be like a bunch of hoopla. But I was the only one to raise my hand because there was one room where I got like really, really sad. And they were like, oh, was it this room? And it was. And they said a woman had died and her baby had died and all this stuff. And I just, so what I'm saying is I went from totally terrified, like that was just my base, to so sad. Like I felt like I was going to cry in that moment. It was really interesting to think about it in a way like, okay, if it was a ghost and I'm like picking up that last emotional energy that she was experiencing when she died, makes me wonder, like, I don't know if maybe you were picking up on that.
I do kind of like follow that theory of like potentially like when you feel that like nervousness or that scaredness, like a lot of spirituals will be like, oh, it's because they're more afraid of you than you are of them. But mm-hmm. like, I think it's more that you're picking up on their emotion on the fact that they're in the afterlife. Like, how would you feel like if you passed away, but now all of a sudden you're in this astral realm, but you're still kind of interacting with the realm that you were in when you were alive, but you don't know where to go. You don't know what is or isn't. Like, let's say like you weren't religious or something. So your consciousness didn't have an idea of where to go. Mm-hmm. Like in theory, right? And then I'd be like, I'd be fucking scared too.
Yeah. Right.
I'd be like, what the heck is going on? What am I? What is this? And if, you know what I mean? Then you have to reevaluate your beliefs all over again, if that's how it works. And like sure. that theory makes sense to me like as well. Because there are like some things that will make you angry.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people focus on the fear and the sadness a lot more, but a lot of the time I feel like our anger is also an indicator that something else potentially ghost-wise is around, but nobody ever pays attention to it.
Well, you mentioned that you had a couple instances or maybe more than a couple where things got pretty scary. Can you tell us about some of those?
There's a few. There's one that I have shared on my TikTok before and in like multiple parts. And this one has like another witness to it as well. Let me see if I can remember this correct. So this would have been like a couple years. I would have been 17. So this would have been like a couple years after the first story. And I was with my ex at the time and we used to smoke cigarettes, but we had to hide from our parents because we weren't, you know, they did not approve of our smoking habit. And so we had this one like road that we would park on and like smoke cigarettes in the car or whatever and like hang out until we would go back, and we would wear like the latex gloves and we had smokers hoodies that we'd like tie up or whatever. And we were just chit-chatting. And so I was in the passenger seat and he was driving, and all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, I started feeling like super drained, just exhausted, almost sick, but not quite. And it kept like escalating to the point where at first I was just kind of like this, but then as the feeling of like this drain or like exhaustion became, what's the word, like stronger, I ended up with like my head on the dash and just telling my ex, like, I do not feel good. Like, we need to leave. Like, whatever is going on, like, we need to leave right now. And so he like starts the car and like we pull away and we go just off the street. And as soon as we get off the street and go to turn into this gas station, I'm immediately better. Like, I'm not tired. I don't feel sick. I'm able to sit up. Like, the feeling was so intense when we were on that street that I couldn't lift my head off of the dash. And then this is where it gets like kind of creepy was. So for me, I usually only feel things. It's not very common that I see anything, but my ex could see ghosts and spirits and stuff, but he hated it. So he would never talk about it. And he hated when I brought it up. But anyways, he said that when I started feeling bad, he looked into the rearview mirror and he saw this like figure standing like at the start of the road, basically. And that every time I started to feel worse and worse, and he was like looking up, it was getting closer and closer to the car. Mm-hmm. And when I was at my worst and my head was on the dash and I was telling him like, we need to leave. Like, I don't know why, but like, we need to leave right now. He said that he was looking over through the passenger window and there was this thing in the window and it was just, and this part creeps me out and I hate reenacting it to tell it, but like, it's the only proper way to tell it. But it basically had its like hands up like this. And it was going rah, like at the window. And it still creeps me out like to this day. And he said it had like, it was like tall and like dark and he could see some facial features and the face like reminded him of like a tiki mask. And it was wearing like this weird bowler cap and it had these like dreads on the side of hair. And he like didn't say anything about it until after we left. And I was like thinking to myself, I was like, if I saw some crap in my rearview mirror, I wouldn't even have let it get halfway to the car.
Yeah.
I would have already been moving. So yeah, he was kind of a coward. So we'll just.
That also makes me think that he saw stuff all the time.
He did.
You know what I mean? Like, cause when my sleep paralysis was at its worst, with seeing the spider that would drop down, like when it first started, it would scare me so bad that I would throw myself out of bed. But then it got to the point where I was just like, oh, that's the spider. And I would just like go back to sleep, even though I don't know, whatever sleep paralysis is, I guess you're kind of asleep already. Right. But if he's seen that ghost and that happened and he's just like, eh, like he must be pretty traumatized from a lot of ghosts.
Right. And he's told me like other stories as well. And he used to work at like a Goodwill. And there's been a couple times where when he's like closing or it's like nighttime, like some odd things would happen as items came in and out of the Goodwill. But he was not open to it at all. He just more liked all the cleansing stuff that I did. But like at that time, I wasn't as like aware as I am now. So I wasn't really capable at the time of like doing what I needed to do energetically.
Right.
Do you find in your life that maybe unexplained, but, or happenstance, you tend to find people like that in your life, maybe it's through dating or otherwise, but people who are somewhat traumatized or have these ghost experiences that they don't want, do you see them constantly coming in your life?
Yes. So it's really interesting. So I had my like astrology chart done by that astrologer I always talk about. He's Chad the Maverick, absolutely phenomenal chart reader. And so I have placements basically where I have like a Vesta in my sun sign in a Taurus degree in a Taurus plane. It's like this crazy thing. So basically my aura is the hearth, the fire in which societal misfits will find comfort and nurturing. Mm. So, and it has to do, there's a Scorpio placement in there as well. So it has to do with like the taboo, the things that society would really frown upon if somebody spoke out about, which is going to be all paranormal phenomena.
I feel like that's our podcast.
All of it. Even that, yeah. So yeah, I am just a beacon for unexpected, odd, paranormal, very creative people as well. I tend to be surrounded by artists and people who feel deeply and like need that nurturing or just that friend that's like, doesn't judge them and is like, yeah, you're kind of off the wall right there, but you know what I mean? And yeah, like gives them that like space to just like be their authentic self. Like, well, I don't want to say, oh, needs nurturing, because that's kind of like pretentious. But
I think for a lot of people, validation is really powerful, especially if you're going through things that maybe can't be explained by the common person, if you know what I mean.
Right. And maybe that's why my guardian angels are like, yep, let her experience it all so she'll understand everybody. They're like, yep, nope, I know what you're talking about. Been there, now, done that.
In your current relationship with Taylor, does he experience things, or what does he think about all this stuff you've gone through?
Gosh, he has incredible stories. He is like one of the most incredible people that I have ever met. He's actually seen a real Catholic exorcism with, you'll have to have, like, I'll ask him if he's open to it.
If he's down,
he definitely needs to share the story. Where he was like 9 and he witnessed a real exorcism with exorcists from the Catholic Church.
Wow.
And it was like a big deal because he didn't even speak English. But anyways, it's like a real deal story. And when he was deployed, he was a combat medic for like a Ranger battalion unit. and he was deployed in Afghanistan for a while, and he came across a gypsy camp and met a seer from a gypsy camp. And she, and I'll try not to tell all the stories in case you do want to have them on. And
we for sure want to have them on. Yeah.
But some teasers, that is my favorite story. And he has a lot more experience, where I have a lot more experiences with things that people would consider like demonic or like evil or like really creepy. His are more like profound, except for like the exorcism one was obviously like, that's straight
pretty
up
pretty demonic. Like,
pretty demonic. Yeah. I mean, you have an exorcist there. So, but his experiences are, I feel much more profound spiritually. And so he is a Pisces sun, like Virgo rising, Pisces moon. So Pisces, Scorpio, anything like that is going to be in the taboo, in the intuition, in that emotional realm of creativity and all that. So we just like, he actually keeps me more in reality, which is nice. He reminds me of like, this realm when I get to in La La Land, woo woo land, I should say.
It is. He has a March birthday.
Yep, March 16th.
Nice.
Yep. Very cool. Well, yeah, maybe even we could have you both come on since you're already familiar.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that's so cool, Riley. Well, you know, I really appreciate your willingness to jump on the podcast. Right. I've always been down to come on. I think we just missed each other last time you were going to come on with the pandemic. And I was probably, my kid was probably like super young then too. So I was all over the place, but yeah, it's been awesome kind of getting back in touch with you and hearing your stories. And I know Kat and JJ and I always get excited to see and get caught up with you.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll rate in my own head how the episode affected me by if I need to get up and go close the bathroom door. And I did during your last story. Well, only because that's like where we were faced the other direction when someone said they saw a ghost back there. So now anytime I look at the door, it's halfway open and it's dark inside. And I'm like, whatever they're talking about, I'm about to see it in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
I often forget to close the bathroom door before going to bed, and then that has to get up and do it.
Well, not even close it. Like, as long as it's just cracked at night so our cat can get in and out, that's fine. But during recordings, like hearing the story, I'm like, I gotta close. I cannot deal with that. I don't know if there's things in there or what, but not tonight.
To promote everything you have going on, is there anything else you want to get out there before we finish the podcast?
I guess me and Taylor are thinking about starting a YouTube, and I'm going to start posting on my YouTube again soon. So once we finish moving, closing on the house, moving into the new house, and I get that studio set up, there will be content to come. Not a bunch yet to plug because I want it all to be like perfect and in steady flow before I get it up and running. So any updates will always be posted on my Instagram, which has the link tree to my TikTok, which I'll make like small little videos once I get started of like just informational, fun stuff I've found.
Have you guys ever thought about doing like a travel YouTube portion? I think that would be like you guys' look and your attitude. That'd be so much fun to kind of experience that.
So that's funny that you picked up on that, because that's kind of like the idea, and I don't want to share too much, but we love food and experiences. Yeah. And Taylor has an incredible sense of smell and taste. And he's a brewmaster at our brewery. And when we go to restaurants and he eats like a certain sauce, he can taste all the ingredients. So I write it down so we can make it ourselves at home.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which I feel like is like cheating the system in a way. So like, I normally don't like tell people that.
That's really resourceful.
But yeah, so we were thinking about doing something like that, where it was like to help give like information on like the best locations to go, like on a budget, how much everything costs, like, is it worth it? Was it worth it at all? Yeah. Like all of that. And yeah, that's kind of what we're thinking about doing.
Even just like you guys doing like tropical stuff and interacting with people. I think that'd be, I don't know. It's just, you guys' energy, I think, plays well with that whole world of entertainment.
Yeah. So that was kind of our idea and our hope that we've been working on. We have the blueprint idea ready for it with like name and everything. So we're really excited.
Awesome. To do that. Well, you know where to come and promote it. So we're always going to open door for you.
I was going to tell you guys, I only got a chance to share two stories because we ended up catching up and that I have a lot of other paranormal stuff going on, but I do have more stories with the friend that I was
abducted
with. yeah, her and I experienced stuff together as well that was more ghost than alien. And one bit of it, we actually got on video. And when she found it years later, she went to send it to me in an email and the email disappeared.
Whoa.
Like within like a day. Cause I went to look back on it after she sent, and she was able to get it off. It was off of her iTouch because it was so long ago.
Yeah.
And so she was able to get into it and then email it to me. And I was able to watch it twice before the email disappeared.
Whoa. She doesn't have it anymore either.
It's gone on hers. It's the file corrupted now on her iTouch.
Well, awesome. Well, yeah, that'll give us something to look forward to next time. We would love to for you to do the sign off with us if you're up for it.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm Riley.